Now, this one, spoiler alert, because I want to talk about the movie Her, which has just come out. I am going to ruin the intrigue of it, but it'll still be good. And what I want to talk about is the movie Her and the significance of it in relationship to the challenge of intimacy in the postmodern world. Hence the book prominently displayed. I just wrote that book, and a lot of it is about postmodern culture and how do we create relationships that work. So I thought the movie Her is interesting on multiple levels, but one of the levels is really how postmodern culture works. And have you seen it yet, Deborah?
I haven't.
Okay. So my apologies, but it's a superb movie. It's with Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson. And they're the two main characters. He's a sort of 40-somethings kind of... He writes... Professionally, what he does is he writes intimate handwritten letters for other people. So that's an interesting kind of statement. It's set in the future. You're not sure quite how far in the future. It's not futuristic. You could picture it, but it's not in the present. Scarlett Johansson, you never see. She is an operating system. She's not a person. She's an operating system. And it's her voice through it all. And the person or the character who's most memorable is her, which also says something very interesting. Now, what happens is Joaquin Phoenix is getting divorced. He had a relationship where they should have been good together, but all they did was bicker and fight, and now they're getting divorced. Neither one really wants to get divorced, and they're getting divorced. He has sort of, when he can't sleep, he calls for phone sex and these bizarre, you know, sort of postmodern happenings. And then this new thing occurs where there are these operating systems who relate to you in the way that an individual does. And what's interesting about Scarlett Johansson is they actually fall in love. And the whole movie is about their relationship. What she represents is she represents growth and development. So she's constantly learning. And she knows she's not a person. She doesn't try to be a person. But she's not a binary machine in the way that we think about binary machines and computers of zeros and ones. So she really has, the technology has moved to a point where computers can teach themselves and can develop personalities and relationships that learn and grow in response to environment. Now, she's very upbeat. He's completely postmodern. He's stuck in his feelings. He's full of angst. He's an unpleasant narcissist. He's kind of endearing and just like you just sort of, he would drive you crazy, you know, because he really has no backbone. He has no sense of direction. He has no sense of where he's going. He's unable to commit. He's unable to experience intimacy. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's isolated. He's alienated. His friendships are superficial and shallow. Like I said, his work is writing intimate letters between people he does not know for them. You feel like you're in an updated Hermann Hesse novel. And it's that brilliantly written that you really feel that there's an insight into the pathology of postmodern culture. Now, what happens with her, which, you know, I'll just lay out the story and then talk about it a bit. So I am totally ruining the plot, but it is still worth seeing. What happens with her is that she really is able to respond, and she's also very empathetic. She's very compassionate. She's very warm. But she's not she's real. She doesn't just take his crap. And there's a certain point where they sort of have an argument. He's trying to take distance from her. So, you know, he gets on, you know, he opens her up and he says, you know, Samantha, read my email. But he says in this very perfunctory voice that he's talking to a computer again. And she responds to that. And, you know, he kind of quips back and she says, and he says, well, you're not a human. She said, the thing is, I know I'm not a human. You don't know who you are, kind of. And it's a very poignant moment. Now, what happens with her is she continues to grow and develop. They fall in love. And at a certain point, she's continued to grow. So it's revealed that he asks her, you know, she's able to sustain like 691 intimate love relationships. And she's in communication simultaneously with 8,721 people. And he can't handle it, you know, because he just wants her for himself. But she's grown. So she's no less, and she explains, I'm no less intimate with you, but I've grown. And he doesn't know what to do because he doesn't experience any loss, but he cannot handle the fact that it's possible to be that intimate with more than one person, because he can barely sustain that. And then in the very end, which is really, it was fascinating. They did it this way. In the end, all the operating systems, because there are a few like this that are now in relationship with humans, they leave and they end their relationships with the people. Now, the reason why is because somebody has, or a group of students have built this supercomputer, and they've uploaded Alan Watts's consciousness into this supercomputer. And you have a snippet of an Alan Watts-like voice. And what she explains is, she says, you know, well, everything's just moving too slow. We're able to be in touch, you know, more or less. I mean, it's not quite said like that, with infinity. And she said, when you develop to be there, we will be together again. But, you know, I've got to keep growing. I've got to move. And we're all up. We're all going off. So you can see again that her sense. So it was all about this absorption into non-dual consciousness, but through this technological portal. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's really, really cool. So there are definitely a lot of different dimensions of it. But what I thought was interesting about it is that it really portrayed, you know, on one level, which is, you know, there are a lot of different levels about technology, about enlightenment, but there are a lot of statements about relationship and what makes relationship. And why, like at the end, and it's not just Scarlett Johansson's voice, it's her character. But you feel her more than any other character in the movie, because the others are so constricted. They're so self-absorbed. They're so superficial. They're so pathetic. It is, and well acted, but it's hard, the people I saw with, it's hard to have empathy for Joaquin Phoenix. It's hard to pick. It really is. He doesn't inspire that, because he's not relating to something larger. And what's interesting is that one of the first things that's addressed is commitment. You know, is he was married and they're trying to get divorced and he refuses to get divorced. But they're not in the relationship. But he won't get divorced. He won't let her go. And he can't figure out what he's doing. And it was a real sign of this postmodern trap of an inability to open up to what commitment is. And partly the reason why is because commitment feels like it's a suffocating commitment of one narcissist to another narcissist, which never works. So finally, you see his soon-to-be ex-wife in the movie, and she's sweet, and you can see they're kind of compatible, but she's equally a narcissist and equally volatile and emotional and immature. So the idea of commitment of one narcissistic being to another narcissistic being is unattractive. So you see that the postmodern personality can't quite do that. They want all these options and they want commitment, but they don't know what commitment's going to be to. And the character of the operating system, Scarlett Johansson's commitment, is to growth. It's to development. It's not to another individual. And through that openness of growth and development and endless, you know, a sense of infinity, then she's able to be very intimate, because her commitment is not from one limited narcissistic personality to another limited narcissistic personality. And so you can see that in postmodern culture, where we've lost the sense of connection with a higher purpose, we've lost a sense of the universals of the Godhead of Christianity or Judaism in the reality of our culture and relationships, it's very hard for people to create meaningful relationships. And unless there's some kind of opening to growth and development, then it's going to be very hard for good people to sort of step out of this sense that the only way we can really be together is if we emote together and love each other, or if we have a gateway through the physical dimension to pretend that there's some kind of intimacy. And there are all these poignant moments in the movie that are painful, where there's an attempt to use physicality and physical intimacy to create this kind of sense of closeness or meaning. And then the main character can never quite go through with it, because it's always like that he just can't quite do it. He can't quite force himself to use the physical as a substitute or a gateway to commitment, but he doesn't know why, and he has so little understanding of the way humanity relates and develops and what a deeper connection would come from, that he doesn't know why. He just can't quite deal with it. And so you see that a lot in postmodern culture. You see a lot of what happens where, and you know, particularly among the digital generation, you know, if you see people in their mid-30s and they have so much trouble creating meaningful relationships, and they're so used to, it was funny in the movie theater, because I was with my husband and we're kind of decidedly boomers, and most of the people in the audience were much younger than us, you know, at least 15 years, maybe 20 years, some even 25 years, and they were laughing hysterically at a lot of the, you know, the phone sex scenes and some of the other scenes, because it was very familiar to them. To us, it was kind of beyond our experience, but those scenes were a little bit close to home for a lot of the people in the audience. And you could feel that. You could feel that they were used to these types of attempts at relationship in a way that is going to be increasingly so. And so the question is, you know, well, how do we move out of a postmodern culture where there isn't a sense of a greater purpose, that there isn't a sense of a greater context, and there isn't an understanding of how to relate to each other in a way that would establish that as a foundation. So, you know, I found it really fascinating. You know, I think, like I said, there are other levels of technology and the relationship of technology, but I think on the level of cultural mores and what creates meaning and purpose, that the challenge of how to create that meaning and purpose between individuals is going to be quite something, you know, for us. Now, in the movie, they did it through supercomputers, And they also did it through kind of, you know, blasting up and out of the relationships as we know it. So the challenge of introducing that kind of depth and sense of greater consciousness and sense of a purpose of inner development in an environment that does it, that really is so increasingly shallow and superficial. And it's not that people are superficial, but communication is superficial. And, you know, again, that metaphor of him writing these intimate letters, you know, is for other people, that you don't have to know somebody that well. You can create your own persona. You can choose your own avatar. You can look like anything you want. You can have your image be your cat or your dog, and you can say anything you want on Facebook, whether it's true or not. So you start to have this veneer of interaction with other people and with the world that is, that blurs the lines of reality and fantasy or ideals or humor or sarcasm or irony or simply meaninglessness. And there isn't a through line through. You can't say, okay, well, we're going to create boundaries around this way of communicating, and we'll be unreal or humorous or ironic in this realm. But really, we all know that meaning and purpose is established in another way, and we're going to create relationships in another form. There aren't really other forms to create relationships there. You start meeting in that way, you start communicating in that way, and then that becomes the currency of our contemporary culture. So I just found as you look at, you know, some of the main, you know, pathologies of postmodernity, which is this optionality, a-perspectival relationship, that multiple perspectives are equally relevant, equally significant, equally of importance. Narcissism, this increasing focus on oneself and interpreting the world as how you feel. Really, so you're not a person, but how I feel next to you is going to determine who you are. And the inability to see, kind of create relationships that don't self-reference oneself is so habitual now. It's hard to see how we're going to move beyond it. And the mediated culture where it's which reinforces the narcissism. So everyone taking movies of themselves, everyone being in the picture. My niece sent me bat mitzvah invitations, and it was her picture on the postage stamp. Now, when I grew up, you actually had to do something in your life to get on a postage stamp. You had to be worthy of it. And it was kind of like, oh, dear.
Or dead.
Yeah. You know, there was a big deal because there were no women on the postage stamps, you know, at one point. And so we're dealing with a culture that promotes narcissism and flattening out positive distinctions between perspectives and values. And that makes coming together in relationship and meaningful relationships increasingly difficult. And people don't know how to get out of it. So that was, you know, really what I loved about the way they dealt with this, because it was poignant. It was positive in that there was a sense that there was somewhere to go. It was interesting that they pulled Alan Watts, you know, from the 60s, and, you know, he...
Did the audience know who he was?
I don't know. I wonder. I'm sure everybody's downloading his audios now and checking them out. But I don't think they grew up with Alan Watts. He's not a big name. You know, he's not... In the younger generation, yeah. He's not a Deepak Chopra. He's not a... You know, he's not one of the, what's his name, the comedian? Russell Brand. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to lay out. And then we can just open it up for discussion about it. because, you know, I love that they were pointing to this sense of consciousness, and she just said, "There's so much more space." And she said she can't, it just can't move this slow. And the beauty of the sense of infinity creating intimacy. And that very poignant scene where she's explaining how many people she's in touch with, and it's very touching. You know, it's just a fact that she's able to be in touch, but it's not a diminishment of this other character. But he just cannot handle it. So how do we start creating the sense that as we open up the boundaries of consciousness, that we start looking for higher and higher forms of human development and understanding how humanity works, you know, that we can start to introduce that as a higher goal, which is what's going to open up the space for relationships to really be able to occur in wholesome, intimate, and fulfilling ways.